Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. How are you guys doing this morning, my friends? How are you doing this morning? I trust all is well. First of all, thank you very much for giving me the honor of spending 1 hour with me to discuss the issues at hand here at Coffee Party Radio. How are you guys doing this morning? Anyhow, a lot of news. Well, before I get into the Ebola stuff, you know, we've been having the Ebola scare for quite a while now, and that's just what it is. It's really a scare. It's really not a huge issue right now, but it could be. I mean, here, you know, I mean, we are going pretty crazy out here about Ebola when there are doctors in the field in other countries that have successfully learned how to work with it, how to control it in much less sterile, rich environments like we have here in the United States. So the hysteria that we're hearing is that, yes, but as my title says, it's a lot deeper. But before, let's touch on a little bit of news. The Supreme Court has dealt the voters in Texas a severe blow. There is a district court here in Texas in Corpus Christi that ID law, the law that restricts quite a few voters, and found it to be unconstitutional. It found that the law was in effect a poll tax. Why is it a poll tax? And it's simple. There has been people that's been voting for years, old women. In fact, one of the women who actually ran the suit or filed the suit, I think she was 80-something or 90-something years old, couldn't find her birth certificate and as such couldn't get an ID. Would have costed her a whole lot of money to rebuild the data to get her birth certificate, to get the appropriate IDs that these guys require. Lo and behold, the IDs that are allowed here in Texas are IDs that are usually held by folks from a particular party. The IDs that are required, that are not allowed, are those that have an affinity for another. Bet you can tell me which is what. But anyhow, if you own a gun and you have a gun license, hey, that's a valid ID. You kill things, it's a valid ID, that license that gives you the ability to kill animals and kill and kill. You get an ID for that. You can use it. It's a state-issued ID. You can use that. College students get an ID from state schools. Guess what? You can't use that to vote in Texas. Your driver's license has your maiden name on it, and you're married, and your voter registration has your name, You can vote. Well, people are going to say, oh, yes, but you can fill out a provisional ballot. Yes, you can fill out a provisional ballot. But is a provisional ballot guaranteed? Absolutely not. It goes to a court. And given, and in this case, the voter courts, or I don't remember what they call it here, but your vote may not count. That is where we're going. First, the Supreme Court got rid of, what is it, section, I don't remember the specific section of the voter ID law. Now, independent states immediately, upon striking down that portion of the voter law, what did they do? States immediately imposed voter ID laws to restrict voting. They changed the format of voting, what people were used to, in order to confuse. And in the case of Harris County here in Texas, they sent bad information for those older folk who were sending mail-in ballots. Had it not been for our chairman of the, chairman of the parties here, it would not, a lot of these pieces of mail would have been stuck at the post office because there was nobody paying to pick them up. We all know the story in Georgia where 40,000 plus voter registrations have gone. Well, we don't know where they've gone. Missing? We don't know. We just know one thing. They're not counting. So, folks, our democracy is in danger. And in as much as we speak transpartisanship and we speak all these great issues about trying to get together, there's only one side right now trying to ensure that your vote doesn't count. So wherever you are, you make sure that you help your fellow American citizen, whatever party they belong to, whomever they are, to not lose their ability to vote. Make sure that they can vote. Anyhow, what's the subject for today, my dear friend? Ebola. That's all we hear. Ebola. 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 How bad is it? How transmissible is it? Well, there are many diseases that are much more transmissible than Ebola. Unfortunately, there was a student at San Diego State University, I believe it is. I want to look it up because I want to be sure to make sure you have some accurate information here. But hear much about it. San Diego State University, somebody dies of meningitis. It's very transmissible. There's no scare. But it's a lot more common in the United States than Ebola. Ebola was a breakdown of a private hospital. So what I'm going to do to start the show, I wrote a blog this morning that I placed on the coffee party, and I want to read it because it wasn't the blog I intended to write, but it's a blog I ended up writing after spending some time. It was up to late this morning, 2:30 this morning. And I got up early because I knew I had to get some exercise. I went on a bike and I turned on CNN and I switched to MSNBC and flipped back and forth. And to put it as nicely as I can, the superficiality of the news is disconcerting. The amateurishness of the news is disconcerting. And that's one of the reasons here at Coffee Party USA, we have the program called Be the Media. Why do we intend on being the media? Because, folks, you're not being served well. You're voting on false premises. You're voting on lies. You're voting on information provided by those who have the money and the wherewithal to convince you to vote against your own interest. And that is one of the things, one of my personal goals. One of my goals I hope to attain along with the Coffee Party and other organizations to bring truth to news. News that we don't get much of in the mass media. Anyhow, the title of the blog post is Disjointed private health care guarantees more Ebola. And here goes. We all love our freedoms. We created civil societies by giving up some of those freedoms for the overall well-being of us all. Society creates a degree of order. We must pay taxes to build roads, maintain a military, protect our environment. While there will always be a fight on how much taxes we want to pay, how much military we really need, healthcare is a no-brainer. We want a very controlled healthcare system because many diseases are very difficult to control. Before I forget, folks, this is a call-in show. Do remember, call 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I would love to hear from you guys. If you want to speak via Twitter, do remember that we follow the Twitter hashtag DoneRight. So if you're on Twitter, you can also reach us on Twitter, hashtag politics done right. I thought I just saw one, but misread that. But going back to the blog post. The current Ebola hysteria must be placed into context. Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital is a private hospital. Had that hospital's emergency room behaved like a hospital concerned with health care as opposed to the bottom line, Thomas Eric Duncan would likely be alive, and two nurses would likely not have been infected. Mr. Duncan had a 103-plus degree fever with headaches, but no insurance. Texas did not accept the Medicaid expansion to Obamacare, and as such, their hospitals are struggling and are less likely to give the indigent a humane level of care. Let me digress, because something may be happening here in Texas. Last night, Wendy Davis got endorsed by the Houston Chronicle, a rather conservative newspaper who normally endorses the Republican slate, went for Wendy Davis. And one of the reasons was specifically because of the state of the healthcare system in this great state of Texas, that everything is perfect. That is something to watch. But Americans must be informed so that they can make the right decisions that's best for their healthcare, best for their country, best for their state. Continuing. Thomas Eric Duncan's family was well aware of said poor treatment, and they spoke about it. This hospital, for its incompetence, could have unleashed a minor epidemic. This is not just an Ebola issue. There are many other communicable diseases that exhibit Ebola-like symptoms that could have been unleashed by bad medicine practiced by the hospital. So while the concern is about Ebola, it should be much deeper. It should be of concern to every American. Many of those hyperventilating about the Ebola crisis bear direct responsibility given the governmental cuts they demanded and imposed. According to the Huffington Post, Dr. Francis Collins, the head of the National Institute of Health, the following. NIH has been working on Ebola vaccines since 2001. It's not like we suddenly woke up and tonight, oh my gosh, we should have something ready here, Collins told the Huffington Post on Friday. Frankly, if we had not gone through our 10-year slide in research support, we probably would have had a vaccine in time for this that would have gone through clinical trials and would have been ready. Cuts have consequences. Politics has consequences. Bad policies have consequences, folks. He continues. It's not just the production of a vaccine that has been hampered by money. Shortfalls, Collins also said that some therapeutics to fight Ebola were on a slower track than would have been ideal or would have happened if we had been on a stable research support trajectory. We would have been a year or two ahead of where we are, which would have made all the difference, he said. Cuts have consequences. Bad policy has consequences. Your vote has consequences. Your vote has consequences. Who you listen to has consequences. Many lied when they said Obamacare was a government takeover of health care. Many said that Obamacare would institute too many regulations and fought to loosen them. What is ironic is that the same folks who said many of those things now want to know why the government, CDC, did not have better controls, better regulations. Look, nobody is here to defend the CDC or say the CDC didn't drop the ball. The young nurse, don't quite remember her name right now, should not have made it onto the plane. And while much of the blame goes to the nurse, because as someone who professional, who knows that she was in close contact with Mr. Duncan, who knows that even if she had a slight fever, she didn't need the CDC to tell her that just maybe I should stay put because I may be getting sick. I don't want to diminish the responsibility that nurse had. I don't want to necessarily blame her because, again, there's a lot of unknowns. But if I were that nurse, I know I would have been erring on, especially after being sent home, saying that we're going to put you in voluntary quarantine for 21 days, I would have stayed put just in case. Just in case. But yes, the CDC dropped the ball because she wanted another level of consent and she got the level of consent to fly. That's a problem. Continuing with the blog. What is ironic is that the same folks who said many of those things now want to know why the government, CDC, do not have better control, better regulations. Continuing. Claim the private sector is more efficient and more reliable. You know, I cannot figure out what specifically within the private sector generally makes it more efficient, as stated. That is simply something folks pull out of the air. What folks have to remember is that much of what may be making government inefficient is a lot of work government doesn't do on its own. It goes and it contracts to the private sector to do the job. So then inherently, if government is inefficient, the inefficiency may just be the level of indirection it has in going to get its services, many of them that could be done in-house, from the private sector. As an example, in Iraq, when we fought or while fighting, the companies who served our soldiers' food were independent companies who brought the food, standard wages to foreigners to serve our service people, charged the government north of $20, $30 per meal, went home with a bunch of profits, paid slave labor, and called it a day. We could have given that type of salary to American servicemen to serve their own, and it would have been a hell of a lot more efficient. It would have been a hell of a lot more efficient. So we buy into this thing about the government being inefficient and private sector always. Look, I'm a businessman, folks. I try to be efficient. If I worked at a government agency as well, I would be as efficient as I am as a private person. The fact of the matter is, folks who go and work, you're either a good worker or a bad worker, whether you work for the government or you work for a private entity. A dollar knows not from where it went to spend. That's the reality. But we have a plutocracy that must ingrain in your mind that somehow government, you, we, the people, is bad. But somehow the benevolence of the private sector, that sector where there are shareholders waiting to skim profits, are somehow more benevolent, more efficient than government. It's a fallacy. It's an indoctrination. That's what it is, an indoctrination. And until we get the chains of slavery out of our minds, you know, we used to have slavery against blacks in this country. No, we don't have that anymore. We have slavery of the mind now. And the vast plurality, I won't say majority anymore, but the vast plurality of our minds are enslaved or in chains. And that's the reason we have the folks that we have that are elected right now. That's the reason we have bad government. It's not that the people are bad. It's just that the people's minds are still enslaved. When we have somebody like Drew Weston writing the book, The Full Brain, I always use that book as an example because it talks about what those of us in the know, those of us that have luckily removed the chains from our minds, we have the method to talk to our neighbors, our friends, our families, or fellow citizens. Continuing. A system run by the people, or I think I better go. Let me repeat that paragraph so that we can keep the continuing. I just kind of had to say what I just said. Many claim that the private sector is more efficient and more reliable. This minor Ebola scare proves otherwise. Private hospitals' fiduciary responsibility is to the shareholders. It is to maximize profits at all costs legally. A system run by we the people has the interest of the people first and foremost. A connected system can track the occurrences of diseases throughout the system. An unregulated private system fails to protect society at large. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was a great start to bring affordable care. It must evolve to a real single-payer public system that has the interest of society and not the profit of shareholders as its ulterior motive. Absent this, the Ebola scare is just the beginning in a very connected world where diseases know no borders, class, or nationality. So as we play games with our healthcare, as we play games with allowing our minds to be controlled by the money in politics, allowing our minds to be controlled by the evil, allowing our minds to be controlled by those whose sole purpose is for profits to end folks. And my dear friend, John, come on in, sir.
Good afternoon, Egberto.
How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. You know, I guess we had part of this argument last week, and, you know, while I agree with you, you know, obviously I want a single-payer system also, I think that you're taking, you know, one doctor's mistake and you're equating it with a system with the whole private you know, sector industry. If he would have actually, you know, put Mr. Duncan, admitted him at first, it would have been a very different situation. And, I mean, we can have the argument about, you know, whether that was motivated by the private, you know, the system of you know, being having profits or not. I mean, I don't know for sure. I mean, all I know is that I've been to various hospitals, you know, through the years with my mother, and I've seen a lot of people who, I mean, you can't really tell. I mean, all you can really go by is the way they're dressed, and, you know, that's not really a very, you know, scientific
that's
method.
Bad, John.
Well, I know, but, I mean, I'm just saying, how else?
I know, I'm just messing with
people
you.
Do make judgments. And so, you know, I've seen people that you know, have been, you know, admitted, and, you know, and I've also have heard conversations in waiting rooms and, you know, about, you know, people worried about money. And there are a lot of doctors that do admit people, you know, who need the treatment regardless of the money they have. And so, you know, I'm just not sure if that's really the best argument to make. But what I do agree with you on is the overreaction in general to the Ebola crisis. It is just completely out of control, and it's astounding to me that, you know, we call ourselves, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave, and what essentially we are is a nation of cowards. I mean, how we
can just be so
manipulated.
Listen, John, your voice has been missing for quite a while. That was the perfect. I actually wrote something and I erased that line, okay? And the reason I erased that line is, I mean, it was so true, but I couldn't find a way to say it the way you said it. I love that because it is true. Go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, this is this way about terrorism and about Ebola also. You know, we don't really – we have somebody like Michelle Obama who's doing a great work with, you know, having people actually, you know, eat more vegetables and have a better diet and getting exercise. And that's what kills the most people. I mean, heart disease kills more people than anything else. I mean, cancer is second. You know, stroke is right behind that. And so, I mean, we've got to put these things in perspective. And right now, we don't have any perspective at all. And, you know, I think, you know, we've talked about the media quite a bit this year, and we've had disagreements. But I like it when you're more specific about the media. And, you know, I watch mostly MSNBC. And I'd have to say that even MSNBC has been just totally overblown this crisis. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, one person has died in America. And yes, we should be prepared. And yes, I agree with what Francis Collins said. They shouldn't have cut the funding. We need that funding. That's important. But, I mean, we've got to get a grip on what's reality and what is just fear-based paranoia. And so,
you know,
hopefully...
It's interesting. John, I did a piece that actually got a whole lot of views. I kind of wrote up a little... I used John Stewart to tag along a piece that I wanted to write. One of the things that I do is I kind of use John Stewart or these other guys that I know have mass appeal. And you can tell a story based on what they're saying, and it's really helpful in getting eyeballs to see the message that you're trying to get across that, you know, in general is in addition to what Stuart wants to say. But he had something about how the fear is being used specifically because it's an election cycle right now. But, John, stay with me. I'm keeping you hot. I want to bring in 916, and then we'll move on from there. 916, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm from Orangeville, California.
How you doing, Chris?
Good, how are you?
Great. Talk to me.
I don't think anyone should really be scared by the Ebola crisis. I mean, of course, our government must be keeping something from us, but as for the time being, I don't think we should be afraid of it. I mean, it's all based on just hysterical people thinking that we could have a huge outbreak, but it's basically the only places it could be are Dallas and Cleveland.
Right.
And
I mean,
only a few people have actually contracted the disease, and they're in complete isolation with any contact with any human. So.
Yeah, but you know what is the other interesting thing, Chris? And I'm glad that you said it the way that you said it. But if you take a look at what's going on, think about Thomas Eric Duncan. He was in a home with his fiancée and I don't know how many other children in the home. And they were caring for him as he was sick or you know, I don't know how. My gut, I'll be honest with you, my gut feeling, and this I have no evidence, no proof, but knowing families, my gut feeling is that folks had an idea that he had Ebola, and they had an idea. That's just my gut feeling, okay? Now, and they probably appropriately worked with him in the way they dealt with him. But no one in that home came down 21 days, as I understand, came down with Ebola. So they were with him, his fiancée almost 24/7, didn't contract the disease. Now, granted, the two nurses, they had to take care of a lot of his bodily fluids and all this sort of stuff. So they were probably in more intimate contact with vials of filled with the Ebola virus that than his family was. But that just proves that the hysteria that's going on with the 800 people that flew on the airline that this young lady was on is just that, hysteria. Very few people came in contact with her. Folks were in contact with Thomas Duncan for hours, for days, without contracting this thing. So your point is well taken, Chris.
Yeah. I was reading an article, and a man on Fox News, he basically said you should be more concerned about the flu than Ebola because the flu killed around 55,000 people just last year, and Ebola has killed about 2, and it hasn't, reached any other part of the nation.
And that is so true. And as long as we control, as long as John was talking about, as long as CDC and everybody else doing their job correctly, we should be fine.
We have nothing
this is something
to worry
that's
about.
Controlled. Exactly. Now, let me tell you, because this is what makes America seem so weak, silly, and as John said, cowards. What's important to realize is there have been mobile hospitals set up in parts of Africa where there have been outbreaks, and these outbreaks have been extinguished. Right now it is out of control in Liberia. Liberia has just, in the early 2000s, they experienced civil war, so they are a completely dysfunctional country. And with that type of dysfunction come bad policy. With that kind of a bad policy, you get the kind of deaths that we have over there. We are far from that, but as John said, we have to toughen up, man. We really have to toughen up. Anything else you want to say, Chris? Chris?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
No, I said, is there anything else that you want to say?
Oh, no, that's it.
Look, thank you very much for calling, Chris. Stay on and listen to the call. I think I have my good friend Jack here. Jack, talk to me.
Yeah, well, you hear me?
Of course I can hear you, Jack.
Okay. Hey, I'm beginning to say it's the hospital administrators that... It's not the nurses that are completely to blame for. That's it's all a matter of blame game, and the Republicans are just want to scare people into believing that we're going to have an epidemic, and the thing the people are crossing, and the terrorists are crossing in Texas with the ISIS is crossing the Texas border, Mexican border into Texas, and all that jazz, and that's a scare tactic, and the people believe that stuff, and you got to educate people that's not the case.
And that's why we have shows like this, Jack. And I tell you something that was very disconcerting, because this was a supposedly reputable reporter asked if, I don't remember if they specifically said ISIS, but they asked if the terrorists could be coming through the Mexican border to use Ebola as a biological weapon.
That's another thing.
I mean, somebody coming from Panama can drive through Mexico with some sort of with tuberculosis, and they're automatically a weapon, right? I mean, they're weaponized. They can infect a lot of people, but that's not what it's all about. We're talking about healthcare here, and it is sad that you're correct. It is being used that way. But what we have to do, I think, as first of all, as Coffee Party and as people who follow the news, I think we have to go out there. And it's like this morning I woke up and I was on a bike and I was doing my exercise and I was switching between MSNBC and CNN, and I continuously got upset because guys like yourself, Jack, John, Chris, you know the truth. So you sit down and you listen to MSNBC and CNN with the scare tactics that are going on. You go ballistic. So what do you do? I wrote a piece on our CP newsroom this morning and told folks, look, hold on a second, Jack. Let me just say this. I wrote a piece to our CP newsroom and asked them, look, folks, go out there, get good information, and let it out.
Yeah.
And the reason we must do that is because we have to do our part. We have to do the part that the mainstream media has dropped the ball on. Continue, Jack.
Yeah, and you have to blogs. Stopping in like the Breitbart and all of that. And there's some new ones coming in that are just about propaganda. Breitbart knows those guys.
Right.
And you just cannot believe a word the Republicans say. And nothing the truth. And never listen to Fox News. And well, you need a little Fox News education. Yeah.
I watch Fox News so that I can know why people are thinking the way they're thinking. In other words, I think it is important that you watch all news because you wonder a lot of times how people make up their minds about certain things. You wonder.
Yeah.
And unless you have a clear visibility of the news environment that they're exposed to, you can't talk to them. So what I try to do is I try to watch the news as a form of information. And in watching that, the news, all of them, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, Telemundo, the Spanish ones, all of them, in watching all of these news, I can then, form a picture of what's going on and hopefully add some sort of whatever sense I can add, or whatever sense you can add, whatever sense John can add. I mean, I've used information that in a lot of our shows here, and John can tell you that. John would send me a piece or whatever he'll bring it up here, and I'll go ahead and take a look at it and say, interesting. I guess that is something we need to look at. That is how we move forward. We move forward by crowdsourcing news. John usually, and I want to talk to John here for a second, Jack. John, there's something that you said that I think you said this on my KPFT show a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, and you said, do remember there are good journalists out there, which I completely agree with, and that a lot of the initial sourcing is coming from these journalists. I agree. One of the problems that we have, however, is that those good sources that you're talking about generally don't make it to have the platform, or don't get the platform that they should have relative to the junk that we see on TV and other places. Wouldn't you agree, John?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all a matter of finding your sources. I mean, that's what's great about the internet, or even going on Twitter. I mean, you can just pick your sources and kind of go there. But I mean, it's also good to get a general view, because, you know, I mean, there's just certain things that bloggers can't do because they just don't have the resources to break investigative stories. You have to have somebody to pay you till you actually write that story that's going to take 2 or 3 months until you can, you know, sustain yourself. And then when you put out that blockbuster piece, you know, you can still make a living. And so, I mean, unfortunately, those there are less and less good investigative reporters because the newspapers themselves are under budget cuts. And so I think that the investigative reporting has also gone down. But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of bad sources out there. And, I mean, you talk about watching Fox. I mean, another way of getting information is just actually going on Media Matters or going on Crooks and Liars or, you know, just, you know, watching The Daily Show. I mean, you see a lot of the craziness.
Right.
But, I mean, even Fox, I mean, Shep Smith said something very similar to what...
He was great this week.
Right. So,
oh,
I mean,
yes.
Even...
He was great.
So even Fox will have, you know, an occasional person who comes in and will say something that makes sense. It's rare, but it does happen. But as far as terrorism, which seems like that they're really focusing on, you know, you had what Joe Wilson, the You Lie guy, saying that Hamas is going to come in through the Mexican border and affect people with Ebola. I mean, it's just so insane. And you know, the odds of actually having what they call international or transnational terrorism, the fact that a person could die outside the war zone is 1 in 12.5 million, which is
right.
The odds of getting strike and dying from a lightning strike is 1 in 7 million. So basically it's almost double your chance
right.
of getting killed in America by a terrorist. And that includes, that's from 75 to 2003. So that includes all of the people who died in 9/11. So,
I mean, you're so right. You're so right. I got to get another call, John, but stay hot with me. 989, you're on. Who do I have the honor of speaking with?
This is Mike. How are you? From Michigan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad, man. New to Blog Talk myself. Just started a radio show about 10 days ago and finally had an opportunity
Excellent.
To start streaming through, man. Came across your show. You guys do a great job, man. I really do. I enjoy it. I enjoy listening to you. Great job.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Where are you Blog Talking at? What's your show?
Wake Up to the Truth Radio.
Okay, I just saw you in the feed here. Do me a favor.
Yes.
Go ahead and send me a hashtag politics done right so that I can get in touch with you, brother.
Yeah, definitely. Will do. Wanted to talk a little bit about the terrorism scare. Okay. We talk about foreign terrorism an awful lot, but we don't seem to talk about domestic terrorism very much. And as a citizen in this country, I'm quite concerned that we have a lot of domestic terrorists right in the Capitol.
Let me tell you something, Mike. Before you go any further, I'm glad you said you don't hear a lot of folks talking about it. I've written about it. And in fact, just 2 weeks ago, when we were discussing ISIS, and this is where John and I had a bit of a disagreement with regard to the severity of ISIS versus other things, but that's what I spoke about. My biggest concern for America right now is domestic terrorists. And, you know, I had one person that I knew, that I know quite friendly with, was actually once within the Texas militia here. And some of the stories that I hear from him and their beliefs scares the holy bejesus out of me. So anyhow, I just want you to know that as far as you're concerned, I am very much more concerned about domestic terrorism and specifically right-wing domestic terrorism. But continue, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, the mainstream media, now, I like I said, I'm new to hearing your show, both you and John make, isn't it John, right? I don't want to get his name wrong.
Yes,
I feel bad. Okay.
Yes, it's John.
The mainstream media, and a couple of callers have talked about it, about Fox News and MSNBC and all that. This is where what I do. I watch the mainstream media to get a few headlines, and then I go and do my own research. Because I've never seen so much fear pushing propaganda, and that's all the big networks, and they're very, very good at manipulating. And I was just talking to a buddy yesterday, and we had turned on the news, and I was trying to show him. I said, okay, you ever take a good look at what you're watching when you got mainstream media going on? You have your host, you have your guest, you're trying to focus on the subject, the main subject in the middle of the screen. At the bottom of the screen, you've got hundreds and hundreds of fear-pushing words going on. You've got news on the side. You've got, how does a human being absorb all of that? They don't. But it's a psychological thing, because the words that we do notice are words like terror, terrorism, war, you know, they use these words and we follow that. But it's like you've got all this stuff being thrown at you at once. And not, I don't know a single human being that can absorb all of that at one time, you know. So it's like we psychologically pick out the words that scare us, and mainstream's so good at it. That's why I love Blog Talk Radio, because an independent radio, because it's not our goal to push fear, you know. So it's really good to hear shows like this that really look at things from a realistic perspective.
I think it's a must, Mike. I think more of us have to do this. And, you know, I'll be honest. We want to grow a network of truth, a network of people, whether it is through Blog Talk Radio, whether it is through blogging, whether it's through all sorts, including those folks that engage us, folks like John, Jack, Greg and many others that form a part of this conversation. I mean, by the time it gets this gets to others who podcast it, it is learning from us all, and it is this discussion, as intelligent as it is, it's between a few people, but the reach that it has after we are done with it today is what matters. And if there are many of us doing this, if there are many of us doing this, what you find is slowly we get to the folks that are not necessarily only looking at that mainstream media, and we change minds. I mean, it's a long, tedious, slow, frustrating at times process, but it is something that we have to do if we really want to move forward. So, I mean, I have no problem at all. I have no problems at all doing this. And I think, you know, ultimately, you know, progressivism always ends up working in the long run, because as a people, we always want to move forward. Is there anything you want to add, John?
No, I think that sums it up. You know, I do think, though, that, you know, the reason the reason I do watch MSNBC and a couple of those hosts, that the hosts really do have a lot of editorial leeway. I mean, I think that that's a misperception that a lot of people say, you know, that essentially the hosts are being directed by, you know, the corporate, you know, fronts that are, you know, giving them. And one example is that Ed Schultz, you know, he's probably covered the Ebola, I'm not even going to call it a crisis because it's not, I'll call it a situation. He's covered it less than some of the other people, and I commend him for it, because, I mean, what we really should be covering is the midterms. That's the biggest story.
Right.
It's much bigger than
right.
ISIL. It's much bigger than mm-hmm. Ebola. This is going to have a great determination, a great factor in how the next 2 years of our country are going to be run. And I think they've been undercovered by, you know, incredibly undercovered. And I think it's very, very sad that people, you know, aren't covering it more. And hopefully, you know, within the next few weeks, we'll see that change. And
Well, I think so. John, if the nurses start to improve and no other cases come out, the hysteria is going to stop and we're going to get back to politics. But sadly, it's going to be likely only 1 week of real politics that people get the chance to discern candidates and all that sort of thing. It is sad. And you're so correct. That is the most important thing that is occurring right now, and we're not covering it. Mike, I imagine you're covering some of this on your show as well, right? When is your show anyway? Go ahead and give your plug.
We broadcast on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And we go a little deep. We've had quite a few people that have called up and said, you know, we're kind of being labeled as a cult and you know, conspiracy nut jobs, and all we're doing is asking questions. You know, we ask questions,
right.
And that's a label that has. I mean, what happened to that? I mean, there was a time when we could stand up and say, hey, this isn't right here. You know, and I think the reason we're not getting the election coverage is because that's exactly why this whole ISIL and Ebola thing is. It's keeping us focused on other things, and we're not going to get all the information we need with a week before election. So we're going to walk into the voters' booth. And go ahead.
Right. I want to jump on ISIS for a quick second. I want you guys to notice how this big, bad organization, first they're going to take over Kobani, then with a little bit of bombing and help from the guys from the Kurds, they're backed up. I mean, this big force that is roaming free, just, and John, I think I had said this a few weeks back, this is a graphically evil force that cuts people head off. But as far as tactically speaking, there's not much there. Don't you think, John, that that's what we're starting to figure out?
No, I've got to disagree with that. I mean, they're actually picking up ground, moving towards Baghdad. Right now, they're 30 miles outside of Baghdad. If they get within 10 miles closer,
okay.
I mean, they should be able to bomb with heavy artillery the Baghdad airport, which will really create huge problems. And and the reason that Kobani, there was a reverse in it, is because we massively stepped up the bombing. I mean,
right.
So,
right.
I have very mixed feelings about this. You know, I definitely don't want ground troops. But, you know, I just feel like I don't want to spend a ton of money either. But, I mean, you know, I've always spoken about the humanitarian crisis that ISIL creates, and I mean they're just incredibly awful, and I don't think that we should ignore that. And so, I guess
I hear you, man. I hear you, John. But John, we're running out of time now. So what I'm going to ask you, I'm going to go to Mike for Mike. The way we run our shows is the folks who that called in, we asked them to give a little final closing statement. So I'm going to start with you, Mike, as a newcomer on the show, and then I'm going to go to Jack, and then get John to close out. So, Mike, give me a little closing statement here.
My closing statement would be to always ask questions, always question authority. If you've got some kind of upset feeling in your stomach, chances are that's your instincts telling you that something's wrong. And never be afraid to stand up and ask those questions.
Thank you very much, Mike. Jack?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about terrorism. There's a connection between terrorism.
I'm asking for your closing statement, my dear friend.
My closing statement is a connection between terrorism and Ebola. And the question is fear-mongering. They got to fight fear-mongering among the, and there are terrorists, are the militia. Okay.
Right.
We got to fight terror, got to fight fear-mongering among news media, whatever it is. I just don't know what the hell, what's going on.
Thank you very much for your closing statement, Jack. And let's close out, John.
Oh, okay. I just want to remind everybody to make sure to vote in the election. That is going to be the most important thing between now and November 4th. I'm going to cast my vote next week. And it's a real shame that the Supreme Court is so greed-oriented and so, are under the thumb of the corporate interest, and that the decision, the fact that they couldn't even write why they believed in what they believed in when they upheld the Texas voter laws, and that Justice Ginsburg wrote a great dissent. Part of her dissent was there have been 31 reported cases since 2000 of voter fraud out of 1 billion votes. And to disenfranchise all of these people is just so horrible. And this is just one of the worst things within my lifetime, that people who should be able to vote aren't able to vote. And the people in Texas this is the worst, one of the worst voting laws around. And I just hope somehow that things can change, that they don't seem to be changing very much right now. But, I mean, you always got to be fighting, and, I'll continue to fight to try to change people's minds and let people vote, and, people will eventually come to that conclusion.
Thank you very much, John. And Greg Rusek had quite a bit of information in the chat room today. He's urging folks, liberals, centrists, and otherwise, to get involved. Make sure that you know the truth about healthcare and put out the right information. The reason healthcare is in the state it is because of insurance companies, a lot of things that you need to know. But folks, please do remember, this is Coffee Party Radio. We have 3 shows right now. We're going to be getting some more shortly. Press 1 for Democracy with Dan Aronson happens on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern. We have Lunch with Loudon, which is on Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern. And we have Politics Done Right. You're with yours truly, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thank you very much. I'm honored to have you listen to the show today. Please do remember to go to coffeepartyusa.com. Please become a part of us. This is how we are going to make the change. Please become a part of the media. You are going to have to be the media, that person, those people that are going to tell our fellow Americans what's really going on. Have a wonderful Saturday.